What's up, Fool Podcast? What's up, Fool Podcast with Felipe Esparza
and Rodrigo Torres
here, man. We just got back from where are we?
Forgetting? Oxnard, fool.
Oh, that's right. We were at the New Liberty Live in Oxnard. Yeah, it was fun.
Fucking killer, dog.
Yeah, we banned football jerseys.
For that big ass fight on Sunday?
I didn't see it, man.
I was there right before it happened. I was like, damn, I missed it, dog.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, dude, I guess.
What's up? This time, I got to give you my dates because I forgot last week, bro. I didn't put no dates.
Make it happen, dude.
But I'm just telling you right now that this week I'm going to be at the Wilbur Theater on Friday, 10 o'clock show. 10 o'clock show. Don't get there early because there will be a show before that with another comedian. Maz Jobrani will be there. So that'll be the 8 o'clock show. I'm doing a 10 o'clock show. And also Rhode 23rd. Island, it'll be on Thursday night in Rhode Island at
Comedy Connection.
Comedy Connection, bro. Yes. At 8 o'clock. One show only. Then we go back and relax on our Airbnb houseboat. That's right. We got a houseboat, people.
You'd be like Tony Soprano,
hell yeah,
dog.
Man. 3-hour tour.
What's the name of that boat?
And what else?
Yeah.
That's all the days we have. Also, Oxnard
was crazy.
For all the days, go to FelipeWorld.com. Ontario Improv is coming up. Humphreys by the Bay in October. October 1st, I'll be in Fresno, California with Mike Epps and Gary Owens.
Hell yeah, dog.
Ontario Improv, what? Ontario Improv, October 7th through the 9th. Arlington Draft House in Virginia, October 14th and 15th. Anyway, find the dates at FelipeWorld.com.
But the president getting briefed, eh?
I can't think right now, man.
Oh, but the show's
crazy,
I'm reading
all my texts right now from Justin Ibarra.
Want to start on that or what?
Hell yeah, man. Anyways, people, I don't know if you guys haven't heard, but yeah, man, we ended up pitching, like what I told you guys last week. Man, we pitched the meeting, it was good, and now we're waiting for our money. No, we made a deal with ABC. We signed a deal. No, we're still, I think supposedly it's a signed deal, right? Yeah, it's done now. We're going to shoot the pilot. Yeah, so that's good, man.
Fuck yeah, dude. Congratulations, dog.
Me, I'm just like, you know, like when you grew up, man, where people, your whole life, where people taking shit from you, bro, you're not fucking really ready, bro, till you fucking see your trailer, dog. Something might happen, you know. You never know, bro.
Something might happen.
Dusty Ibarra might crash in a helicopter, or Peter Murrieta, they might find a missing child living in his house. Or,
God, yeah, or like, worst case scenario,
or
dog.
Like David Chapa, he said his first movie ever, he was ready to shoot the next day. They were driving and they killed everybody, the director and the producer on Hollywood Boulevard.
And they took money. Da, 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 da.
Nah, but nah, man. Yeah.
Nah, you're in good hands, dog.
What's up, fool, man? Chilling. We have a guest today, man. This guy hooked me up with a spot, but this guy, man, the first time I heard his name, it was because of Comedy Store Comedians. But I was in Chicago, bro, with Neil Brennan, and I still haven't even met him. They were talking about all the new breed of young comics that are coming out of the Comedy Store. You know, like mm-hmm. I came out when I started. You know, I started with Bobby Lee and Gabriel Iglesias, those fools. Brian Holtzman. I used to do open mic with that crazy motherfucker. Bro. I remember, man, a fucking plane crash, bro. This fool went to the Comedy Store. His fucking joke was. Delta's hiring.
First opening joke.
And then that fool said, fuck, all these hack comics are talking about, they want to fucking put me in a black box. Fuck that, man. Put me next to a baby. Baby survived.
Wah.
Wah. So, yeah, so Neil Brennan was talking about Adam Myers, bro. And his homeboy. Yeah. And Gerald Carmichael, and your homeboy, bro, the one that passed away?
Angelo Bowers.
That motherfucker, dog. And they were all like Whitney Cummings.
Okay.
Because they were all, you guys all started together, right?
Whitney was already advanced by the time I had jumped in. She was probably, I think she had already had five different shows on the air. So I really don't know Whitney, but it was like me, Gerard, Angelo, Yasser Lester, John Shefsky. What's cool is this
Amir?
To see... Amir K, we started pretty much the same time. We all hit the same open mics. Like, there was a little spot You know the Sunset Grill?
Yeah.
Like, that was like, dude, that was like the hub of L.A. stand-up comedy for like a good year, man. They had open mic 7 nights a week. We were there every fucking night. It was me. I mean, it was just one of the best young lineups of comedy.
Right there in front of the Palladium?
No. The one that's over by the Guitar Center.
Okay.
Yeah, dude. It was just like we were all, it's like they had this little like room above it.
That's the place that used to be in Acapulco.
The Sunset Grill? Don Henley's got a song about
it. La Brea and Sunset?
Nah, it's Sunset.
Down at the Sunset Grill.
Yeah, it's Don Henley, dude.
Oh.
I don't think they're talking about the panini shack. But Don Henley, man, they got this like mozzarella fucking turkey sandwich over there. But that was it. Like, that was where we started, and we knew Neil, and, you know, it's cool to see everybody that I started with all going on to do shit. You know what I mean? Gerard was way early. Like, we were doing open mics, and that motherfucker was like plucked out quick and just taken to superstardom. So we're all just trying to catch up to him. You know what I mean?
Did you start in California or did you start? You're originally from Baltimore?
Yeah, I'm from Maryland. I'm from right outside of Washington, D.C., and then I moved to Baltimore halfway through my life. I always wanted to do stand-up, and then I was going to try when I was 18, but I never did. And then when I was, like, 26, I stayed up one night doing coke all night, and everybody's like, dude, you're so funny. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to fucking go start stand-up comedy. And so I was like, I'm going to fucking go home. I'm going to find an open mic, and that's what I did. And then I literally, like, went up and went on the dial-up AOL and found this AOL place called Oh, dude, it took forever to fucking load this page. And I found, it's called Wiseacres. It was in Northern Virginia. And I showed up, and they had like Thursday. It was like Wednesday and Thursday. And I showed up, and they didn't put me up. And I went up to the guy. I was like, you got to put me up, because if I don't go up tonight, I'm never going to do it. I'm not coming back. You know what I mean? It's like, I need to go up tonight. And he put me up. And I did like a blatant Dane Cook impersonation, and he was like, they were just like, well, we thought we weren't going to be able to see Torgasm this week, but luckily this guy just performed. And I was like, all right, and that was it. I did like 3 more open mics, and then I moved out here and I started doing it full time. So it's been a long road, man. It's been a long fucking road.
When did you move out here?
It's been 9 years, August 1st, yeah. And first year, I worked in production. I worked on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Damn.
For 2 seasons. I took a shit in every single one of those girls' homes. Every single one.
Tight.
I've taken a shit in every house.
How did the toilet feel like?
They had a bidet.
Oh, it was nice. Yeah, dude. It was dude, the best toilet paper.
I bet.
Except Chloe had shitty one-ply. Chloe had one-ply. She likes it rough on her ass, man. Like, I
rough bottom girl.
Yeah, dude. Bruce had the softest, most gentlest. And I worked on that. I worked on that, and then I worked on a porno as a PA, and then I immediately started stand up. No, it was the best job ever. Dude, the craft service at a porno is through the fucking roof, dude. Not just like, dude, they had better craft service on the pornos PA on the porno job than they did on my own series. Like, Comedy Central literally got us, like, a couple bags of nuts. And not even, like, sealed nuts. Like, nuts that they took from a bigger bag, put into a bag, rolled that up, put that there.
From
and
Costco
that was it.
To fucking yeah. Ziploc?
Oh, it was all Kirkland brand. Everything's Kirkland brand. Fuck Kirkland, by the way. If listeners do not support Kirkland, I hate Kirkland. If you make jeans and steaks, something is wrong with a fucking company that you can't trust them. You know what I mean? Seriously.
They were feeding them peanuts, bro, with a little cup, bro, like feeding a rabbit pellets. And they were loving it. When you were working the Kardashians, that was like, when you were like, when, did you feel like, fuck yeah, I made it, man? One step close.
Dude, that was, I remember awesome. I got hired 2 weeks after living in L.A., and we went, the first day of shooting, we went to Fred Siegel. This is before the girls are famous, right?
Fred Siegel, right across the street from the Improv, right, where all right the young comics right? park for free.
Yep. and I'm fucking, and we go there, and on the first day, eating in that little cafe, I saw Vlade Divac, and I was like, holy shit, I made it. Vlade Divac. I was like, that was when I had that first real Hollywood moment where I was like, I'm not living in Maryland no more. This Vlade Divac, my fucking Paula Abdul over there eating a goddamn Cobb salad. Like, that was that moment where I was like, dude, it's just so crazy. And I still have those moments living out here. You know what I mean? It's like, LA is just like every other town, but you know, when I see a famous person, I still get
Man, I feel the same way, bro. I get the chills, dog.
Dude, I was at a spa right down the street from here, this Korean spa. Not dirty, really nice. I've seen two people naked. I saw Jamie Masada naked.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Can I get a spot?
Dude, hell no.
There was a moment.
Buddy, come back in 2 weeks.
We both got out. He got out of the water.
What does penis look like?
Dude, it was like.
I had a yarmulke.
For real? It was like.
I had a stub.
It was like a half cut. Like, it was like the guy kind of missed it a little bit, and then they were just like, we're just going to leave it. Like, we're not going to take too much off the top.
He's converted, though, right?
I saw him, but he had the body type. Like, this is a way to explain it.
Gandhi.
Gandhi, fool!
He definitely had a
Mr.
Gandhi.
Burns, dog.
No, very Mr. Burns.
We could have Bernies, bro.
His body, it was like, do you ever see, like, the first two seasons of, like, Full House? Like, Jody Sweetin, you know, the middle child? With, like a 13-year-old with kind of, like, a gut, like, or just, like, a... like just,
skinny legs?
Just really weird looking. Like, his body was developing. Like, he would have been a cute girl in 5 more years. You know, that's what his body
like
looked like.
The alien from American Dad.
I saw him naked, and I saw LeVar Burton naked at the spa. LeVar Burton from...
Roots.
From Roots. Star Trek, the next show, his dick had one of those little visors over the head of it.
Take me to
it's awesome, dude. It's awesome. I didn't say anything to him, but Jamie Masada, we both give each other like a head nod. We were like, yeah, I see you.
My first time with the Laugh Factory, I saw Damon Wayans perform, and he went off book. He was talking about his relationship. Uh-huh. Then I saw his sister and another comedian, and I always wanted to be a comedian, right? And then I went to Pink's, and I saw Eazy-E eating a hot dog. And I just told him, what's up? And I told him, man, I just saw Devin Williams right now. But I was talking like, fuck, I was a comedian already, dog.
Oh, you weren't even doing comedy? You're already in the business, bro.
Yeah, but I was like, bro, ham. I was just like, yeah, man, I was really bullshitting, bro.
I got a deal.
Like. I had that moment. I met Conan O'Brien in New York when I was like a little kid, like in the bathroom. And I was like, hey, man, I was like, I'm just letting you know, I'm a comic. I was probably like 15, 16 years old. I was like, I'm a comic. And he's like, oh, that's really cool. And I was like, I'm going to be on your show one day. And he's like, oh, I hope so. And then I was like, tell Max and Andy, I said, what's up? And he's like, yeah, for sure, dude.
Don't forget
Andy. For sure, man. I'll tell him. He's going to go back. I ran into a perfect stranger. Said, what's up, y'all? All right.
15-year-old comic?
That's always weird, though, when you start talking like that, then they don't talk no more. Then you're still by yourself.
You got to wait for the next star.
That's happened a lot of times to me.
Then Eric Estrada rolls up, eh?
I don't know when to leave.
Yeah, you always stay a little bit too long, or you like, every time I
yeah, meet, that. You start shaking.
Or you laugh at, they say anything, and you're just like, that's so good. He's like, I was just ordering a panini. You're like, yeah, but it was the way you did it. Like, no tomatoes? Hysterical. Like, I'm a fucking, I still, even now, with the way the show has gotten, I'm meeting comics like Burr. Like, when I first started hanging out with Burr, like, I'd laugh at everything that motherfucker said, dude. He could just be talking about anything.
Dude,
you're just so nervous. You know what I mean? You want to be their friend. And it's like, and after a few times, and you're like, oh, they're cool. I'm cool with you now. I don't have to fucking do that. Now you can bust their balls. And it's great. But, you know, I met Zach De La Roca from Rage Against the Machine probably like 3 days ago. And that was just the coolest thing. I mean, like, I don't know what to do.
Does that fool talk like he sings?
Dude, when I was with him, like, Josh? Dude, I wanted to be like, yo, man, I believe in the Zapatista movement. Like, I wanted to tell him something that I have no idea about. Like, I was just like, dude, you know, like, free that dude, that reporter, whatever his name is, Muami Amdu. Yeah, I don't know what to say. And I just go, man, I love your shit, and that's it. And then I walk away as quick as I can. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to fuck it up or ruin it.
Oh, totally, dude.
I know you don't want to say the wrong thing, man.
Oh, dude. Get banished from the kingdom.
Like, Damon Wayne was always cool, right? Ever since that day, like, I thought he was my pal, even though I never walked out to him.
Mm-hmm.
Then one time he did a joke, but I already heard him do that joke before somewhere else. Uh-huh. But he did it different. I told him, bro, the other place, you said it this way. And I'm pretty much tagging up a joke. Listen, man, I don't need to tag up my jokes, man.
He said that,
dog. Nah, put his face at it, bro.
Oh.
But I started, they were the only ones I would approach with a Wayne brother because they seemed nice on TV.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? And they're from the hood, bro, so.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's different when people are all uptight and shit. Excuse me.
You'd always want everybody to be like, there's certain stars I'm never going to approach, you know what I mean, that I'm like huge fans of. But like, I just met Eddie Vedder at Bonnaroo, and he couldn't have been nicer, you know what I mean? I also had a
sober.
But it was when I met him, he was just like, I think he knew, like, They know. Body language tells a lot of shit. But they also know what people are doing. Like, people are, like, when you're meeting, like, he's like an icon. When you're meeting an icon, people are just like, all right, I'll give you an example. When Louis C.K. showed up at the, he did the comedy jam, like, everybody in the fucking room just went like, they didn't know what to do. They started, like, adjusting waters and, like,
checking tags.
Yeah.
Checking premises.
Like, nobody had any idea what to do. And it was like, and I just walked up to him and I was like, all right, man, here's your song. Pick it out, blah, blah, blah. And but at the same time, I was like sweating on the inside because it's like, this is Louis C.K. and you don't want to like be stupid around him. But everybody else was just freaking the fuck out. They changed the whole mood. You know what I mean?
There's upside down.
Yeah,
shit.
Exactly.
Dude, I was watching I was listening to Howard Stern, and there was an actor there. I forget who he was, but he was talking about meeting Prince, and it was so amazing. Like he didn't know what to tell him, man. It was like they were like at a trailer, and he goes, "I think you're amazing, man. You're the greatest." And Prince said, "You know what's amazing and the greatest? This mac and cheese right now."
Fuck me, mama got this.
Full like we went into Andy Garcia at that one show, and I was just, so Andy Garcia. He goes, "You got a light." Hold on! Who are left backstage?
This fool needs a light for his cigar, dog.
This fool was sitting in the audience with my mom, and I ran back and I ran to the audience, and I was backstage. They couldn't get in the backstage with me. I was like, "Bro, give me a fucking lighter, bro. Fuck Andy Garcia. Needs someone to light a cigarette."
Yeah, well, that's just tight though, dog. Fool, use my lighter.
So, anyway, so let's get back to Josh Adamire, bro.
Hell yeah,
talk about us.
I know. He's here, dog.
Well, anyways. This is a comedy show that he does every week.
I do it once a month.
Once a month now?
Yeah, once a month. It was never, it's too much to do every week.
Man, they're trying to get me to do a show every week, bro. I don't think I'm going to do it every week, man.
Once a month, dude.
It's an event. It's like, by doing it, by keeping it, and we've been so busy, we've had to like skip months. We've been on the road so much. So Felipe did it, fucking killed it. You killed it, dude.
I was nervous, bro.
You're like the Mexican Elvis, dude. You got down on his knees and
I was
like
Elvis
started. Yeah,
have a little kneel. Or what?
Elvis,
I was pelvis, bro.
I see part of the little clip, dude.
Before that's one thing I noticed about the young comedians that you started with, and the comedians that are now at the Comedy Store. Because when I started, there was like some shows. People will make up shows like the Ding Dong Show. They don't even know that I really like watching. And there was other shows, but you guys. You came in and you started shows, bro, like good shows.
Thank you.
What was your first show you started besides the goddamn comedy show?
Well, the only real other show that I've done besides this is just a variation of the goddamn comedy jam. Like, we did, you know Sarah Tiana?
Yeah.
They used to run a show at this little theater called the Unknown Theater right down the street from here. It was in the theater district, and it always had, like, a decent audience, but it was more of, like, what happened afterwards. Like, everybody would get fucked up, and they'd party, and then instruments would come out, and people would start jamming.
Oh, yeah.
And then comics started showing up even more. Like, Burr started showing up, like, playing drums, and Chris Porter and a few other people. Fuck and then yeah. They left, the two girls left, and I took it over, and that was when I incorporated the band Element OP, so they became like the house band. And so when you were done with your time, the band would come back on stage, and that was like your light. And then certain comics would like fuck around with them, and that was kind of where it started. And we got a little bit of respect from like LA Weekly, and it was getting out there, but then the theater got shut down because the owner of the theater was this big coke addict. He would make these elaborate plays and build these huge sets that always had like weird gay sexual themes. Like, we'd be performing on those sets. It would be like, all right, so for the next 3 months, you're performing in a gay bathhouse. And then it's like, in the next 3 months after that, you're in a gay resort in Tucson. And then 3 months after that, we were like in a gay man's asshole. Like, it was literally constantly in some form of like some weird elaborate set. And, the guy partied so much, he spent all the money on coke. And, they shut the theater down, and so then we stopped doing it for a while, and then I just was focusing on regular stand-up, and But I had this idea for a while, and it just, I just sat on it and sat on it until I got so fed up with this town. Because this town is, like, not built for success. Like, it's, for some people it is, but it's, like, you
all dated and shit.
It's just, dude, this is the funkiest fucking town I have ever lived in. So many fake people. The industry's fake. Everybody's fake, dude. Everybody is fake. And they're faker now. I've noticed it even more now.
Faker, dog.
Not on the internet.
Dog, I've noticed it more now as I've gotten success, where it's just like everybody I talk to, I'm like, you're so full of shit. Like, dude, I just want to help your career and help build you and turn you and just make you what you can be. And I'm like, motherfucker, you want some of this money. And you didn't get in. You didn't get in when the money was, when there was little money. And now that there is a lot, everybody wants to fuck with you.
Oh,
and
get in the mix.
Well, I also, you know, I had some success, but it was supposed to change my life. It didn't. And so I was about to move to New York, and I was like, you know what? I got this idea. Let me try it. Let me see if this shit floats, man. And luckily Burr immediately was like, I'll do it. Cause I'm, you know, he just wanted to do something different than regular stand up. And since we did that, July 2014, it's changed my life. And it's literally, and I think you know this, it's like, if you're doing stand up for any other, or anything, if you're doing it for any other reason besides, if you're doing it for money or fame, you're never going to get it. If you're doing it cause you love it. And I mean, you love it. Like, I got to get on stage tonight because this is what I'm about. This is all I know how to do. You're going to succeed. Might take some years, but you'll get it. And that's why this show is a success, because I fucking love it, dude. This thing for me is, I never expected money, a TV show, any of that shit. I just was like, once a month, I'm going to have friends with my boys and we'll just have a good time. And the audience will dig it because we're doing something different. And it just took off. And I'm fucking grateful for it.
Come together organically and shit.
100%. And it's the same show from the first one that it's been in this one now, except the audience has just gotten crazier and the comics are getting even bigger. And now we're having like real rock stars come in. So it's organically turning into this movement. It's stupid. It's like the way I look at it, I read the fucking, you know, like the breakdown of the show on paper, I'm like, God, this sounds horrible. Like Felipe Esparza singing a Neil Diamond song? Like, what the fuck?
But it
works, dude. It works because Felipe's going to go up there and he's going to have fun. And if he's having fun, the audience gets to see a different side of him. And then they get into it. They don't expect anybody to fucking really crush it. But when you commit to it, everybody has a good time. And they just don't care. And now it's like it's just this like train that just keeps moving right now, and it's so fucking cool, man.
Crazy train.
The show I did with Brad Williams, myself, and Brad Williams was dressed like Angus Young, bro. I think he was doing some AC/DC. And but dude, Hannibal Buress came in, right? He was last. And I didn't even know that what song you were gonna do, right? He didn't wanna tell me when we were surprised. Right? And then that fool belted up Benny and the Jets.
Damn.
Didn't know any of the words.
Didn't know any of the words. Yeah, sure. No, that's not a salad.
Fill in the blanks.
It was
cool. Hot. Everybody, it was hot, dude.
Everybody was doing the Benny and the Jets. Benny and
it's
the Jets.
It's a bad song.
It was, dude, it's...
But the band was playing it because it's the piano guy from the Comedy Store, fool.
That fool's awesome, dog.
He's great, yeah.
Jeff, right?
No, it's... at that time, it was Brad Watson. Watson? We've had a bunch of... Oh. We've had like five different keyboardists, man. It's like the people... the guitarist, the drummer, and we have a violinist now who like shreds.
They're all
like,
superior musicians. They're all heard great, the recordings.
Dude. They're all great, man. It's like they're just guys that have been dicking around in the scene for a long time, and I'm so like happy that this show has gotten them to this level where one, they can make a living off of it, and two, they're playing like so we're playing like huge festivals now with some of the biggest bands. We did,
that's what's
like
up,
we were talking about Eddie Vedder. We did
Bonnaroo,
you know, Bonnaroo with Pearl Jam. We just did Outside Lands with Radiohead. And it's like we've done like 6-7 music festivals this summer, and we got more coming up. And it's
with true pros. And
dude, it's fucking insane, dude. It's insane. Like, it just blows my mind that we're even doing this shit. The fact that it's on television, it's stupid. It's stupid.
It is stupid.
Dude, I bought a mattress. I bought a mattress from the money from this show. That is blowing my mind.
So hide your cash.
And a good one. And
gotta
a good
hide
one.
That cash, bro.
Cali King Tempur-Pedic, motherfuckers.
Let you know.
That's dude. Funny. You know what? I ain't gonna lie to you, but why would I lie? That's the way we talk in the hood. One of the first things I got was a bed, too.
It's legit, dude.
You see, I know this fool used to go from couches to couches.
Yeah.
Little futons, huh? That knot in there.
I've lived in L.A. 9 years. I probably lived in, I don't even know. I couch surfed for a good 2 years. Tough. And then But then I like I had a relationship with a girl that had money, and so I was living, dude. Like when I should have been like broke. I mean, I was broke. I should have been eating like you know ramen every night and noodles and pasta. And just
you had a rich dick.
I am lucky, dude. I'm lucky. I have you know I could have had a tougher life, but I did love her.
You could always.
She's
talk.
Listening. I loved you. I didn't use her. She used me.
Show the podcast now.
She's actually doing really well. She's really doing well. Vine was very, very good to her. She's the sweetest girl. I'm actually going to go out to eat with her after this.
Tight, man.
You already know the
she's
person.
She's paying. I'm not going to lie. She's like, I'll pay for you. I was like, all right.
Nothing wrong with that, bro.
No.
You always could tell the person was really broke by the way they say broke in the story, huh? Like, you said, man, we were broke, dog.
I tell you.
So people say, I was broke, bro.
Yeah, I was broke, dude. No, you were not broke.
You say I was broke, bro. I could tell you you had enough money for a hot dog and a nacho at 7-Eleven. When you say you're broke, dog, that dude, means you were eating the same nachos from yesterday.
Broke as hell.
That is the truest shit I've ever heard.
The more vials you have, the more broke. When like, you have the black company, oh, man, we were broke, dog. Shit, dirt, dog. What the nastiest shit you weigh broke, bro?
I don't even know, man. I mean, I used to get like, meats from the dollar store. You know what I mean? Like that was what I've done. I remember not the nastiest shit, but I always remember this. Me, Angelo, and Yasser Lester were waiting to do a spot at the Improv. And I had $5 to my name. $5. I had no idea how much money I was coming in. I had nothing. I couldn't borrow any money from my parents. Like, I was done.
Improv was giving no meals back then.
No meals. And I was Yeah, now I can go in there and get some.
Yeah, right.
I don't have to be performing. I
Mr.
get half
Myers,
price food. Yeah.
Would you like your table over there?
But I had $5 in my name, and we were walking up Fairfax. I spent the last $5 that I had in my life on an Okie dog. That was it, which is like a dual hot dog burrito of pastrami. This is the last of my money on an Okie dog. Like, that was it. And I took two bites. I was like, oh, this is fucking disgusting. But I had to finish it because that was it, man. That was the end of my money, dude. It was good.
So the Okie dog has pastrami in it?
It's like two hot dogs in a burrito with chili and pastrami and cheese.
Ooh. Cheese.
That's an Okie dog?
That's an Okie dog.
I thought Okie dog was just bun. That sounds good.
No, yeah, dude. It's like a fusion.
You've had
of like,
them?
Yeah, dude. It's over there on La Brea. And there's
been
two.
There forever.
Yeah, forever. Little tight LA location. It's a fusion between like Japanese, Mexican, and Jewish food. And
where's the Japanese in that?
I don't know. I guess with that sauerkraut or that little sour stuff that they had put in there, kind of like kimchi shit or something like that.
That's been a while, man.
Yeah, dude, little concoctions and shit that are pretty cool.
I just remember the pastrami, the chili. That's why I was like wondering. You're like Japanese. Chili is Japanese? I was like, where
Medicine
the fuck did
your
that come from?
Delicious. I mean, I like
it. Russia.
Oh, the last $5 of my – that's all I – just thinking about that. I like it now that I get to choose what I want to eat. Like, it's a really – like, I don't ever want to run out of money because I really enjoy, like, eating what I want. And even though I have money, I still do broke people shit. Like, I still sneak into movies.
This guy right here saw Sully and –
Sully, what else did I see?
In One Day?
Yeah, in One Day. But I seen Sully and – what's the other one? Oh, Snowden.
Snowden.
Dude, all right. Friday, I saw
–
dude, I paid for Snowden. Then I snuck into Blair Witch. Then I did Bridget Jones' Baby.
I was going to see that one because I had
time.
It's
the shit, son.
Oh, man. I was going to watch it too, dog.
It's
that's
good.
Embarrassing, dog.
Being what happened? Watching that shit with a mask.
Joshua Rodriguez just got arrested for sneaking into
Bridget Jones' Baby.
You ain't going to catch me. I'm just going to flee.
And then I ended the night with Sully. I was there from 3 p.m. until 1 a.m.
Dude, I was there from like 11 to 5.
Did you like Sully?
It was good. I mean, I knew what was going to happen. I mean, you know what I mean? I was hoping there would be a twist, but.
It crashes, bro.
Yeah, there was no twist, dude. That's what I was like, dude, come on, really?
Best movie
Whatever.
Was Bridget Jones' Baby, dude. I'm
Missed
telling
it.
You. Oh, it's hot, dude.
From the Diary to the Baby.
Did you meet Angelo here in L.A.?
Yeah, I met Ange probably, I think I did, on my second open mic out here at the Hollywood Improv. He went up, he killed, and I was like, this kid was, he was so funny that I was like, I'm going to be friends with that kid.
I met him briefly once, after I won Last Comic Standing. I went to perform at the Sunset Room in Hacienda Heights with Martin Rizzo and Flaco and those fools, and they invited him over, and he was there. And I went up right after him. He pretty much was funny, man. And then when I went up on stage, this guy was funny, man. Give it up for him. That's what I say, man. You remember that guy that paints?
Oh, the Bob.
He looked like he had the Bob Ross afro back then. Yeah,
I said, give it up for this guy, man. He remember Bob Ross, man.
Painting happy thing.
Painting punchline. We're going to add a little joke right here, man. We're going to add a little tag over here.
Andrew play any room, man. He loved it, dude. I took him to, there's a room in Compton called, they have fried chicken there. I hate to sound racist, but that's what it's known for. It's called
the family room?
Yes.
The family room?
Yeah.
That's the one we went to?
Yeah, it's in South, it's kind of like in the outskirts of Compton, South Central, like the little area right there. Yeah. The unincorporated area.
Some old pimp used to run that.
Yeah, it's an old famous room.
We used to go there back, we went there with fucking Chris Fonseca, bro.
Days ago.
This guy has a cerebral palsy comedian and didn't have no more ribs. And this fool said, man, what kind of a black establishment is this?
Yeah,
except he didn't say black establishment.
He said the N-word.
Yeah, man.
But, like Texas style.
But they were going to beat his ass. But
he's
already in a wheelchair. So he's what can you do, you know?
Kick his head off, dog.
Throw some hot sauce at
his eyes. Pop this tire real quick.
Oh, man. It was horrible. This guy has a cerebral palsy. Not only that, bro, he got fucked up all the time. So I had to push him around. And that night, I had to go take a shit, man. Ugh. And I said, man, I handed it over to somebody else.
They tried to give it to me. I ain't touching this fool. I'm like, hell no. I do a lot of things, but not that, dog.
So what happened that night, man? I never got to tell you. I'm very sorry for that, what happened. I really didn't know you, but I did tweet, and I said my condolences, because it's always sad when a comic leaves. We had a friend in Rudy Medina.
Yeah, man, back in the day.
Back in the day, this guy used to always put up rooms. He was like a small comic, hustler. Never made it, but he made it in our hearts.
Yeah.
He was like Funky Comedina.
You give him props on your special, though.
Yeah, when my first special, I gave a little memorial for all the fallen comics. Freddie Soto, Melly Martinez, Mitch Mullaney, and Rudy Medina.
Yeah,
he got hit by a drunk driver, right?
Yeah, there was his buddy was driving. They got hit by a drunk driver and killed him, dude. Pretty much.
It's the exact same thing that happened in my situation.
Were you guys at the comedy store when it happened? That was fucked up. It was sad.
It's
time.
You know, it's one of those things that's like, you know, it was literally, if we would have had like one or two extra seconds, he'd still be here. I picked him up at an open mic, we performed, and then we were going to get some food and just driving up Vine laughing. And the next thing you know, just this big black, because we were crossing the, you know where the Capitol Records building is?
Right, on Vine.
So we're going up Vine, that's on our right. So if that building's not there, we could have seen that guy coming. But because of just it was just like the perfect storm of bad. And like we're going through the thing and this huge black truck just ran the red light going 80. And I just woke up on the ground and had blood. I was thrown from the car. And then just go back to the hospital. I had no idea. I thought he was still alive. And then I found out the next day that he had passed. And then that just kind of like set forth the next like 8-9 months of just heavy, heavy drug use. Like,
oh, that's fucking heavy, horrible.
Horrible.
Well, it's, you know what? Here's,
can't listen, put a Band-Aid on that.
You
dog.
Can't. And that's the best friend I've ever had, hands down. And, you know, not only would he have been an incredible comic, but he would, you know, that was like, you have to find your people.
Your homies.
In this town. You have to find somebody. Cause like I was talking about, like.
I'd be sad if Gabriel would have died when we're hanging out.
You would say what?
I would have been sad if it would happen to Gabriel or Willie. Maybe not the devil so much. But
I thought you said you were hoping for Gabriel to die. I was like, God damn!
I don't want no harm to nobody.
But it's so I found he was like I said, dude, it was the love of my life. I've never had a connection with another person ever like that. That we just got along. We used to have sleepovers. Like when I was dating this chick, like this girl I was dating.
Only comics
like,
have sleepovers.
That's fun, dude.
Dude, this girl I was dating, the girl that I was living with, who had the nice place. Well, we had it together. I paid half the rent.
Did she hook up the Kardashian job?
No, she did not. That was my cousin. But this girl would be like, because I'd be like, I want to have a sleepover with Ange tonight. And she's like, again? She goes, so wait, what you're trying to tell me is that you would rather have a sleepover with another man so you could stay up all night watching YouTube clips than fuck your hot girlfriend? And I'm like, yes. A million. I was like, we're always watching different clips, baby. It's always new. Like, that's the same pussy I've been getting. We ain't going nowhere. I'll have sex with you. Don't worry. And so it was just, that was my boy, man. And You know, you got to find, like, the good out of this. If he doesn't pass away, like, I'm not – I've learned from him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, I've changed – he was such a good person that all of his principles of living and the way he treated people has rubbed off on me. It's like, I'm so blessed to have known him. That it's made me a better person. And this comedy jam, all of this shit is because of him. Like, he told me to do this show a long time ago. He told me to combine comedy and music. I would have quit comedy if it wasn't for him early on. And I would have definitely stopped. You know, if he doesn't die, I mean, I wanted to stop. But I was like, no, he'd be upset if I would have stopped. So I got to keep going because he can't. And then... when we shot the special, the motherfucker was there. And I know that sounds weird, but where the accident was and where I shot the special was 100 feet apart. Like literally, damn. We shot at Avalon right there on
trippy,
Vine.
Dude.
So you want to talk about like a God shot. Like that's it right there, man. And I'm not a super religious person, but I believe in the universe, like has control over shit. It's you can't deny it. And because of that, I went early. I hung out at the accident spot, listened to some music, talked to him a little bit, and then went in and did the show. And it's like, it's definitely put a different perspective on the rest of my life since it happened. You know, what I mean?
Those are life changing events.
100%. I'm better now than I was, you know, 4.5 years ago. But it's something that will never, like, I'm never gonna get over it. You know what I mean? Even when I meet new people, I'm like, hey, you're not Ange. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah. We're cool, but it's never gonna
vacuum,
be that.
Dude.
You know. But you know, it's, I just want, like, if the listeners are out there, man, like, listen, go Google, Angelo Bowers. He's only got a couple clips up on YouTube, but it's dope. I mean, you know, you perform with him. He's motherfucker. Like in a 5-minute set, he probably did like 50 or 60 one-liner jokes that were all fire, dude. Just, there's not many comics that bring me to tears, like consistently. You know, like I watch Burr and Burr will make me, you know, he'll always make me laugh, but like crying maybe every other set. You know what I mean? Ange, every fucking time that dude performed, dude, I was in tears, man. Every time.
There's some comedians that are funny. Like, I'm funny. But sometimes, you know, I cannot write what I just said. Like, I got to show you. Mm-hmm. You know, when Angelo wrote, you read it and it read funny. And then you perform it. It was even funnier. Like, I know I could write jokes. But it's like, that's better. But if you see me tell the joke, you're going to laugh more.
You had the flavor and
yeah,
all the shit.
Yeah, but this had the writing down and the performance.
Well, he had his voice immediately.
Yes. Bam.
Gerard
that
had his
takes
voice.
A long, what a lot of comics don't understand. It takes a long time to get your voice.
Yes.
And then if you get it right away, those are the good ones.
Mm-hmm. Like Gerard had it, like from the first time I saw him perform, I was like, oh, this motherfucker knows what he's saying. He's got a clear point of view. Mm-hmm. Ange was just so... He was so out there, man. Like, he would just have, like, I mean, I'm trying to, like, think of some of his jokes. He would say, like, one of his jokes is, the people I work with. No, I'm going to fuck it up. I can't even do it. If I even said it, I wouldn't give it justice. I wouldn't even give it justice. Oh, I'll give you one. One of his jokes. This is one of my favorite ones. It's, I Got Fingered for the First Time is my favorite book from R.L. Stein. Along with My Skateboard is Haunted. I mean, it's just like the way he do it, and then his back punchline was just, and it, I don't even give it justice by saying that shit. It's just, he was the best, hands down.
Hey, where was he from?
Modesto.
Oh, damn. He's from Modesto?
Modesto, yeah. California. I didn't know that.
Him and Marcella, that's the only two people that are from Modesto that got out
so
of there.
So they knew each other?
I don't know if she knew him. She knew him down here. I don't know if she knew him up there, but they had like a connection just because they were both from Modesto. But it's, I mean, I think once you, if you get out of that town, I've been there. It's like, you're fucking good for you. You know
man,
what I'm saying?
You're talking about sleepovers and being that young, hungry ass comic, man, took me back, man. Give me chills. Cause I remember like, those are the good times as a comedian, you know, when you're learning the craft. When you're doing the open mics, when you're fucking going up every night and you're trying to outdo the last comic, like me and Gabriel, bro, we should compete with each other, bro. How many times you went up this week? 10? Fuck you, motherfucker. I just did a show right now. Is it 12? That's what the best, man. We should fucking fight over chips. You don't get that no more when you get successful.
I always say the best time of my life is when all of us had nothing, man.
Yeah,
when
man.
All were broke. That was it, dude. When we were all excited for somebody booking something or getting a showcase, like just getting a show. When Yasser got his first show at the Hollywood Improv, like 10 of us showed up there. Just like So excited.
Can I get a spot?
Dude. It was the best. Hit going from open mic to open mic and then finally getting shows and just seeing the evolution. That was hands down the best fucking time of my life since I've been out here. I mean, it's great now. It's nice to have money and be able to go to the shows now and everybody be like, oh, you're fucking you. And you're like, yeah, I am. And, you know, that's cool. But it's the shit when you have nothing. You know what I mean?
Did the goddamn comedy show start off slow or was immediately
it was
an
immediately
audience?
Big. It was dude from – we did the first one. The first one was completely sold out. And then the second one, my guest list was like Comedy Central, CAA, UTA, everybody, dude. It was just packed. And it's just, you know, probably 4 months after doing that, we did our first festival. And then we booked Montreal. And once we did JFL, that's when it just completely changed. Because that was when it was we had like the full year of touring. Then we had television offers and it was just off to the races.
When you said, when you were touring, it was you and a bunch of comics?
It's
or just go touring?
Oh, no, no, no. Well, so if we do like a festival, let's say you're performing on the festival. Dude, somebody broke into the studio, dude. Or there's a bunch of cicadas outside.
Yeah. Fucking ISIS.
No, when we go to the festival, I mean, festivals are super easy because there's already a group of comics.
Oh, so you just invite them over.
Yeah, no, we, well, certain festivals will ask us who I want on the show and then they'll book a couple of them. But it's, we just pull from what they have. And when we did like Montreal the first time, there was, you know, there's so many fucking comics there. And so every night we did a different show and it was like, dude, we got to fucking put these guys on and we got to do new songs. And now we're just like, it's greatest hits, dude. Like if Felipe comes on, we're like, nah, motherfucker, you doing the song you did before. And we're going to punch it up a little bit.
It's the greatest hits.
That's it, man. It's just, it's a showcase. When we're on the road, it's just a showcase for everybody. You know what I mean?
Make everything all sound tight.
Oh, for sure.
When I did the show, I was kind of nervous about the singing part. So I did my stand-up, and then I was doing Come On Baby, Light My Fire. Well, I went to go YouTube, and I saw Jim Morrison perform live at the Hollywood Bowl. And I was watching it, learning, and I fucking learned everything he did, his mimics, everything. And I did it exactly like that, bro. Even when I got to the small part, I even picked up the tambourine and got up. Ka, 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 ka.
Add the little accents.
Hell yeah. But you know, no, one thing that I like about the show is that a lot of comedy shows don't have, because, you know, most people do stand up, is that the crowd involvement of the show.
They're into
like,
it.
Like, those these two guys, who I thought they were fucking hilarious. They're like roadies, dog. A blonde kid and then another big fat fool.
Jeremiah Watkins and Jeremiah Johnny Squirtus. Yeah, they play Razorblade and Mosh Pit.
They're characters of the show and they're known. Like, I was like, yeah, these folks are cool, man. And they have signs that tell, you know, like they pump up the crowd.
They got groupies, dude. Girls trying to fuck them.
That's what
the show, dude. It's hot, dude. Everybody getting laid on the
goddamn high. Not only that, dude. Oh, man. I saw a chick at your show, man, and I felt like a pervert that didn't recognize her. But then I got home in the real life. Why I know her? Some redheaded chick. She's a model.
Who?
She's a. Because you get porn stars at your show.
We've had a few.
Yeah, but I recognized one, bro. It was a redheaded one. Anyways.
She had big titties?
Yeah. They all have big titties.
I'm actually dating. Right? I'm not lying.
You just I'm not lying.
I swear to God, dude. She lived with me for a year. She got great tits. Yeah, man. Tits are awesome. Man.
So man, you might get a lot of groupies, huh?
Does the show or do who? Do I?
No, you.
Put me on, you know,
Josh.
Listen,
put me on, Josh.
All right, baby. What do you want me to listen? I've been getting groupies since I was 18. I'm not trying to be cocky or anything like that, but, you know.
This shit ain't nothing new to me.
It's not anything different.
Gabriel, do you know the secret, bro?
The secret is, I don't know, man. Just, I hate to be, like, arrogant, but just got to
be cool.
Be me, dude. Just got to be me and be a raver growing up and then fucking being a Jewish hip-hop group and just sing and do all this stupid. I don't know, dude. Tough. I have no idea how I've gotten pussy my whole life, but it somehow happens, dude, you know. Especially once I stopped drinking and partying, then I actually, you know, because when I drank and partied, it was really easy, but I probably like drank myself out of so much pussy when I was younger. Now it's like, as I've gotten older, like, I don't know, I'm 36. I just don't care about it as much. Does that make sense? Like, it's
about
thrown,
pussy, right?
It's always thrown at you. I think just in anything we do, you know, if you're successful, if you're out, it's just, if we're performing, like, there's always girls that are trying to hang out. But at this age, I would rather go to sleep than get laid. Does that make, especially I got a new mattress. Like, I'm all about it. I got a new couch. So I'm all about it, man. That's like, the way I see it is, like, I could get laid. but I got to stay up until 3, 4 in the morning, you know what I mean, go to her house and leave awkwardly, or she comes over and then I got to kick her out awkwardly, or she's got to spend the night and then the morning's awkward, or I could just go home and go to bed and eat a bowl of cereal. And I like that. I like the latter, man. I'm all about the cereal in bed. So maybe I'm boring, but maybe I'm a pussy rock star, but that's what I am, dude. That's what I am.
And you're sober now?
I am sober, yeah.
Nothing?
Nothing at all. I have dreams that actually last night I had a dream that I took a bunch of Oxycontin. Like I wake up like, oh dear God, please tell me I didn't do it. And then I'm like, oh thank God, it was just a dream. But
Josh, that's a normal dream for an addict. Because I stopped doing coke in 2009, mm-hmm. but I had to do it when I was a teenager and pretty much my whole life, man. I've been like hitting that crack pipe, you know, because I love it.
Yeah, dude.
But I do have dreams, man, where I'm back in the neighborhood or in the back of the comedy store hanging around with, you know, who. Anyway, so hanging around over there, and I hit the pipe. And as soon as I hit it, I fucking regret it immediately.
Immediately, yeah.
You feel like all your dreams are crushed.
Yeah,
like you're in the back of the line again.
Yes. I literally had this dream last night. I had a dream. I was at a festival, and everybody was getting fucked up, and somebody was like, hey, because my drug, I did cocaine for a long time, but then I moved out here, and I stopped. I did my first bump in the parking lot of high school, of Seneca Valley High School.
Man,
well, I remember
up.
Danny Cruz, he pulled out
fucking
a bag
Latinos.
Of coke. Yeah, no. No way, you know. Well, no, I mean, actually, he introduced it to me. But it wasn't until I got later that I really started doing it. You know what I mean? But I just did one bump, and then I went back to class, and I was just like, this is so much fun. But I didn't really notice the feeling until you do, like, a fucking, like, rail of it where you're, like, go from sober.
Shit.
Oh, my God. I mean, that was, like, all my – from probably, like, 19 until 26 – and then I got my last DUI because I got 3 DUIs.
Damn.
Yeah, but I
did you give it time?
Pardon?
Did you give it time?
I know. I dude, first DUI.
You were all in California probably.
No, no. They're all in Maryland. First one, I was 19 years old. Charges got dropped. No, I was 20 years old. Charges got dropped because I wrecked my car. Second one, it was probation before judgment. Like, you know, maybe like I had to take the classes and license was suspended and that was it. And then the third one was in 2006, right before I moved out here. And because the first one was dropped, I got probation again. And then the lawyer, after the judge ruled for probation, I was waiting for like 20, 30 minutes for them to give me my paper to sign. And I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. So I walk out of the courtroom and the judge goes, Mr. Myers, when do you want to do your 30 days in jail? And I'm like, what are you talking about? My lawyer stands up. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You already said it's probation before judgment. And the judge says, he goes, you know, while he's in my courtroom, I can do whatever I want. And he's got, this is his second DUI. He needs to do jail time. Damn. We walk outside. We talked about it for a second. I'm like, well, I don't know when to do it. I guess let's just do it next week. And then I'll move to LA when I'm done with it. And we go back in, we sign the papers. The next morning I got a call because that judge tried to do that after he ruled, all charges were dropped.
So you only got really one.
Dude, I'm the luckiest drunk driver in the world. So literally I have one. According to my driving record, I have all three.
Right.
But it's over 10 years now, so they're all gone.
Right.
And I haven't drank regularly in 10 years. And that was the last time I really did coke. I can count on my hands how many times I've done. Because what I used to do was, when I moved out here, I was always into painkillers. But what I would do is once a year, I would go to my buddy's place in Venice, away from every comic that I knew, and I would just throw down like $500-$600, and I'd be like, let's just get fucked up for like a couple days. And we would just buy as much coke as we could. And we just rhyme over beats because that's all we do. White people, they do coke and they all think they're fucking Gucci Man. You know
like
what I mean?
Skrillex
just,
over here.
Yeah, Skrillex.
That's a party, dog.
It was like supermarket sweet.
I've done that.
Just try to get every drug in one day. That was what I would do.
I would go to the loft where I used to live, where, and I go like this. Listen, man, I know nobody in this building doing shit. I got $300-$400. Let's just fucking disappear for 3 days.
Yeah, dude.
The recruiter.
It's fun, man. I mean, I'm not gonna lie.
That's what it's for, though.
When you go down, it's fun when it's happening. But then, after a while, man, you're the only one, man.
What do you mean, still doing it at the end of the night? Well, there's nothing worse than being like, no, man, come on, let's call the guy, dude. Let's call the guy. It's like it's 9 a.m. on a Tuesday. You know, I know, but like, let's just keep going. Let's keep going. And luckily, I had a friend that I hung out with because I thought he was worse than I was, which I know he probably thought the opposite. Like, I hang out with Josh because that motherfucker is really bad. And we just got along. And when we just party and party and party, and then we'd both just, you know, we'd hit it where, like, you know, the turkey timer just pops out and we're done. And we're like, all right, that's it, man. I'm going to go back to Hollywood. And I'd take a cab home and I'd sleep for like a day and a half and that would be it for the year. But I stayed away from everything like that could hurt or help my career. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I would never do stand up that way. Never. And it worked for a while, but now at 36, like I couldn't even imagine doing coke, man. I think it would probably take me 2 or 3 weeks to get back to normal, you know?
Come on, cocksucker.
No way.
Did you ever go party in Burbank at the house?
What house?
That party house that everybody used to go to?
The Sean Green and they used to do shows there?
It was the same house, huh?
I don't know. I never really partied in Burbank.
There was some Dougie Points. A guy named Doug?
No.
Oh.
Don't know.
Because I went to this party, man. I always talk about it. It was this crazy party, man. There was a lot of guys from the Comedy Store there. And I didn't leave till 11 in the morning.
Just get fucked up.
Yeah.
Good time.
I always talk about it because they had, people were doing blow, but not in the open. But they always talk about it because it was so cool. They had nasal sprays.
Pretty much liquid coke.
Liquid coke.
Really?
Yeah. Because you know when you do a bump, then you feel like you got something stuck in your nose. Put some water in it.
Yeah.
This place had all that fixed. It had enough coke in that little bottle and enough water to just put it in your nose.
Ah. Oh. Where was I when that was going around, man? It just sounds perfect.
Venice. For you, bro.
I was in Venice, yeah, just doing regular old, just normal. Oh, God, when there's futuristic shit over here.
When you party real hard, like, before your friend Angela passed away, or you do that like you think you fought with an excuse to party hard?
Well, when...
You must have been hurting, right?
Well, all right, so when I first moved to Los Angeles, I was sober for a year before I moved out here. Then I moved out here and I started doing coke and drinking for like 2 months. Then I quit because I almost lost the job at the Kardashian show. Then I got busted with cocaine in Mexico while I was working for the Kardashians.
Damn, how'd that go?
You were holding it for them, huh?
We went to... Yeah, dude, I had my ass and I got stopped at the border. We went out there to shoot. We were staying at a resort and... they were like, we'll hire you back for the season. You just can't drink or do coke anymore. And I was like, cool, no problem. But then the second we got to Mexico, I immediately, some guy, you know, he's like, chiclets. He's like, you run some coke? And I was like, God. I was like, fuck yeah, dude.
Chiclets, coca.
Yeah, they're immediately just like, you know, their voice changed. Like, what you need, brother? I got you. Chiclet. Oh, you coca. Want some coke? I got you, babe.
Tamales, marijuana.
We started doing coke. And then we were, everybody that was working, because we got there a day before the girl showed up. We were all doing blow, and then we left the resort and went to Cabo Wabo, which is that, like, fucking Sammy Hagar bar.
Fucking bar right there.
And I'm in the we're all trading a bag, and it's my turn to go to the bathroom, and I go into the stall, and I start doing bumps, and I'm sitting on the toilet, and next thing I know, this, like, 4'2" Mexican dude, like, climbs the fucking – the scaffolding of the toilet, whatever you want to call it, the walling – and jumps over. He's a security guard. And I drop the bag into the toilet. And luckily, it was one of those, like, automatic flusher things.
Oh, hell yeah.
So he grabs me. I have no coke on me anymore. And he throws me immediately to a cop. And the cop's like, he's like, cocaine, whatever. And I'm like,
dick,
I don't know,
dude,
what you're talking about, man. And the police officer says, you're not doing cocaine. I'm like, nah, man. He goes, well, why do you have all this white stuff on your lips and your nose? And I'm like, man, that's just salt from the margarita, dude. Just chill the fuck out. And they're like, whatever, dude. And so luckily somebody showed up and they were going to arrest me. They paid $200 and I was released. So
that's all they wanted.
That's all they wanted. I gave them the money. But like from that moment, it was like the company that I worked for was like, listen, like you almost got us. You could have fucked this whole production up. So you really got to stop. So at that point I stopped. But then I started.
God damn, dog, another chance.
But then they loved me, man. Yeah, I was fun to be around. I was like, it's Josh, man. I was just like, yeah.
It's Josh,
I was like, what's up, Chris Jenner? How you doing, baby? Chloe, good to see you. And I would, and so they hired me. But then as we're leaving, this is a funny story. As we're leaving, I'm dropping the three girls off at the airport. And I get out of the airport at Cabo San Lucas. I get out of the car. And this woman driver, and I hated to say woman driver to be specific, but you'll know why I was, you probably would have known it. I didn't have to say it immediately. I get out of the car. This woman hits me with her car and runs over my foot and ankle.
Fuck that.
Yeah, dude. So I'm like laying on the ground, and then they take me to the doctor and give me a bunch of painkillers. And then I got back to the States, and my ankle was just super sprained. But they just fed me Vicodin, and that's kind of what started. I'd already been fucking with Vicodin for years, but like not heavy, not
that
every day.
Locked you in?
But that locked me in, and then living in Los Angeles and needing them, and then going back to work, and then knowing that I can't drink and do coke. So then I just started taking painkillers. And that would be like on and off for a few years, and then mostly off, but I'd have like, I'd be on for a month or two, and then I'd be sober for 6 months, then I'd be on for 3 months, and vice versa, or just a couple days. And then the accident happened, and then it went from Vicodin to like basically like heroin quality opiates. You know what I mean?
Oxycontin.
Oxys, Oxy 30s, oxymorphine, morphine.
The real shit.
Hydromorphine, like whatever I could get my hands on, like fentanyl. And that was for. For years. That was a long, long battle. And it's like, I've been sober for a while now, but, you know, that's like my favorite drug. That's not like a fun drug. It's a fun drug when you're doing it, but it's really like, it's not one that you share with other people. Like, if you get oxys, like, you hoard them. Yeah, you're like, you turn into Gollum. Like, ugh. But, and it's one of those things that, like, I'm glad I did all that stuff because it wouldn't have made me, you know, who I wouldn't be who I am right now without them. But, you know, there are some advantages of being an oxy opiate addict. You know, you ripped. Like, I'm always going to be in shape for the rest of my life. You know, I can't gain weight because of that. So fuck yeah, dude. People ask me all the time, like, how do you stay in shape? I'm like, you know, Oxycontin 80s a couple times a week. It'll rip you up, man.
How many tabs would you take a day?
Depends. After the accident, I was probably spending $200-$300 a day on it. During my last use, which was a while ago, I think I spent like $2,000 in a week. And I used to have a doctor in Beverly Hills that would just, for $500, he'd give you whatever you wanted. So I'd go in there and he'd be like, what kind of insurance do you have? And I'm like, well, I got Obamacare. So I can only, like, he's like, well, like, what do you, can you get before you have, they charge you for it? So I'd be like, I can only take 90 every 2 weeks. He'd be like, all right, cool. Come back in 2 weeks. And he'd just write me the prescription. I mean, whatever I wanted. But that's not good. I mean, that's like, then you're just taking even more because you have so many. And I felt great. I'm not going to lie. Shit is, I'll tell you right now, man, if I could get away with just taking them every once in a while, 1,000,000% I would take oxys. Oh, they're the best.
They make you feel real low and good, huh?
They're the best. Imagine there was a manager that used to work at the Improv that he used to get from me and vice versa. It doesn't work there anymore. So if the Improv's listening, I'm not going to tell you, but who he is. Secret but he used to. He explained it perfectly. It's like walking into a room and you know you feel better than every person in there. That's the best way to explain it. Like literally, like it's the greatest feeling in the world. I mean, that's why heroin is so addictive. Like it's because it's the best feeling in the world. You know.
Did you ever felt like stopping but you couldn't? Like tell yourself this. Like I don't know. A lot of drug addicts go through this, like they like throw away their drugs. Or I remember one time I broke my pipe. I was sad that I broke it.
I'd go on for a few weeks, but I always knew I had to get off. So what I would do is
binge.
I would binge. Just
me
like
too,
yeah,
binge.
I would binge, and then I'd be like, I just need 2 days to go through the detox, and that's what I'd do. And like literally, but then as I got busier, it was just more difficult, and because you'd always be like, all right, I'm gonna quit today. Fuck, dude, they want me to do a show, so I gotta go get more. So I'd go down to downtown LA, I'd score some dope, I'd come back, I'd do it. And that would go on until finally I had that 2 or 3 day window. And then I'd just buy some weed and I'd just go into my room and just fucking just smoke weed, maybe take a couple Xanax or something and just feel like shit, have some diarrhea, go through the detox. And then I'd wake up on that third day and I'd be like, all right, life's back to normal. And I'd go right back to my life. So it was like the whole time I knew. It wasn't like I was like, this is my new life. It's always going to be high on painkillers. It was like, this is my life for a week or two. I better figure out a way to get off. Also, you run out of money. You know what I mean? And
that was my thing, man. My problem was that I would come back from doing a bunch of shows. Then all of a sudden, there's like a 3 day gap. I got to leave on Friday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I open. Mm-hmm. So I would go from a plane to a bar and stay there all night and look for fun. But I was doing it by myself, but after a while, it got to be a problem, you know?
when it goes out of control, you can't handle it anymore.
See, coke can wear you out, though, man. Like, coke, I couldn't imagine, like, the most longest I ever did coke was for, like, a day and a half. Maybe 2 days. Two, like, full days. But after that, on that last end of it, like, I'm done, dude. Especially if I've been drinking, I just pass out.
Shit sucks you dry.
Yeah, because it keeps you up. It dries you out. It's just, but oxys and painkillers, you could just, it's a normal life. You know, you wake up in the morning, you pop a couple of them. You can go to the gym. You can do shit, take meetings. Dude, I've had some of the biggest meetings in my life, like just loaded on painkillers. And nobody has any idea. I'm fucking killing these meetings. Killing them, dude.
I'll let you see a tape of that.
Just can't. I look like shit. I'm all skinny. My face sunken.
He's wearing a hoodie.
I'm scratching myself, just like,
at the end, they tap you. What are you taking, man?
Why are you imitating Joe Diaz in his conversation? That's right, cocksuckers. I'm all right.
I just did his podcast last night. And it was literally me and him. Nobody can tell the difference between me and his voice. It's just like, all right, how you doing? I'm good.
What's going on,
good.
There, fucking perfect, Adam? Yeah. You over there with that fucking
stay
power.
Black. All right, how you doing?
Man, it's funny how like the other day I was taking out the trash and I was wearing an outfit that I normally don't wear to take out the trash.
What were you wearing?
I was wearing my fucking shoes, house shoes, basketball shorts, and a hoodie. And I put the hoodie over my head. I don't know why, but as soon as I put my hands in my pocket, I was like, "Fuck, am I on my way to score crack right now?" That was my crack scoring outfit.
Really? Did you have socks and sandals?
No socks.
Okay, thank God.
I was ready to go home. I was ready for I was dressed for a robbery, bro.
I was going to say, I thought you were about to get shot by the police. If they would have seen you, that
would have been next. Because I would probably have stole somebody's bike. But I can't believe that's not the first thought that came to me. That's not a normal thought that a person has, like taking out the trash with a hoodie and shorts. And I was thinking, man, for a minute, I felt like I could, like, I felt like I was going to walk away and go buy a crack wearing those clothes.
After you close that lid?
I thought about it, too, but there's nowhere. I don't know anybody, though.
So. I have things like that, not like so much outfits, but like if I drive by certain parts of town, like it makes me think of getting high. Like I used to call in fake prescriptions to pharmacies. Damn. So especially if I'm on – oh, it used to be so easy, dude. It was the easiest shit in the – the only thing was that just the names that I would use.
You have
the
radio boys.
Well, which works, dude. I mean, you call, you just got to have comment. You can, first
give
of all,
me a fake one right now.
I'd be like, you know, yeah, first I would put an accent.
You're
like,
a doctor.
Because the doctor was Armenian, so I'd be like, hello, this is Dark. I can't say the guy's name because I don't know if I'd get in trouble for it.
Dr. Mazurani.
This is Dr. Ramanini. Yes, I'm calling in prescription for a patient named Oral Hershiser. My DEA number is B as in boy, 782-3397. Prescription for 40 Vicodin, 7.5 milligram. Directions, take one tablet every 4 to 6 hours is needed for pain. 3 refills. That's it.
Damn. That's how easy it is?
They'd be like, they'd ask you the questions. They'd be like, so any refills? No. Or you could be like, yes. Refills, it was kind of sketchy, so you just call it in for each one. And I did that for years, man. And then they changed the – well, actually, I stopped doing it before they changed the law, but now they changed the law, so you can't do that.
Drug can make a motherfucker scandalous, dog. Or be crazy.
Think about it like this. Think about it. It's genius because if I go to Rite Aid, it's only like 25 cents a pill. That same pill in downtown L.A. is fucking $4 or $5 a pill. Right now, I could have made money. I could have, when we were talking about being broke, like I could have like literally called in prescriptions, sold the pills to comics around Hollywood and made a very good living. But I was such an addict that I was just like,
for you.
It was so good, dude. The idea, somebody wanted to buy like 5 off me once and I needed the money. I was like, there's no way, bro. There's no fucking way, dude. I would rather go today without eating and so at least have my painkillers. There's no fucking way, dude. It's an addict. Yeah, dude. I was an addict, 100%.
So many people abuse painkillers, but they always talk about crack and heroin, huh?
Dude, painkillers are way worse than crack and heroin right now. I mean, people fuck up your organs like a
motherfucker.
It's not just that. It's just that, like, you will die eventually. And when I got sober, it was – the jam had just started. You know what I mean? It's starting to really take off. And I have all this – opportunity, you know what I mean, of what's going to happen. And it's like I had to clean my life up because it was either like either I'm going to one die. Yeah, I'll always show up. I'll always kill. I'll always, you know, be one of the best performers for me, high on painkillers. But I'm either going to die or I'm just going to, you know, or I don't want to be the guy that could have made it, that had all the potential and just fucked it up. Like, that's sadder than being the guy that died. Being the guy that died, you're like, oh, what could he have done? He could have done it. Not being the guy that was like, man, that motherfucker had it. Look at him now. He works at the goddamn Chuckle Shack down in fucking Tempe. You're like,
next,
you know,
to the Rite Aid.
Yeah, man. It's like,
sure love Okie Dogs.
Yeah.
I wanna be the guy that people say, man, fuck that white hair.
Hell yeah, dude.
Man, well, I don't know. I didn't even know you were into pale so much, man. But that's a whole different level, bro.
Dude. And they're so discreet too.
It's so sad because crackheads go to jail first.
I never did crack. I always wish I would have tried it. I bet I would have liked it. I never did. I never did crack. And because I think nobody ever did it in front of me that I was cool with. Like, if we were cool back in 2009 and you would have pulled out a crack pipe and hit it, and I would have been like, yeah, well, Felipe.
I would have been.
I don't know, man. That's all I said earlier. It was pretty goddamn good.
I'm sorry I have to do this, Josh, but, man, I've been holding this hot pipe in my pocket for a minute. I remember I did that one time. I was in a car. I think it was Chepo or Kenny. I don't know whose car it was. And I just scored. I didn't tell them where I was going. I just said, drive there, stop there, park over there. That's it. And I went over there, got it. Take me to a gas station. I went to the gas station, got the crack pipe, because I know the gas station sell crack pipes in LA every night.
With the little roses,
meth pipes. Got the rose in it, right?
There you go.
What do they try to say? It's just a rose pipe.
I know. Yeah. Does anybody actually buy the little thing for the rose?
I bet you there's a little paisa that buys that for his lady every now and then.
Do you take the rose out? Do you take the rose out, or do you smoke the crack?
As soon as you open it up, you just spit the rose out, bro.
Oh,
you spit in the floor.
Aw. And what do you put in to stop the crack from burning?
Oh, the fucking gas station sells Brillo pads to clean the dishes. It's a copper Brillo pad.
Oh.
And you break that up, you make it to a little filter, you burn it, you burn the copper off, and then you just stick it inside the pipe, and you get the pipe all warm, and then you put the little crack on top, and it sizzles. I get into my fucking goosebumps thinking about it.
This one says it sizzles.
It sizzles, bro. You light it, bro, and you flip it on top so that shit won't fall. Then you hold it like this to warm it up, bro, then you put another hit. Yeah. But damn, man, the whole process, man, where I'm in the back smoking, dog, and they go like this. What are you doing back there? Nothing, bro. I'm smoking a joint. It goes, smells like plastic.
Crack smells like plastic?
I don't know, man.
To me, it always that.
Burn marshmallows like and ass. Burn marshmallows.
I just had heavy chemical smell, dude.
I like marshmallows, dude. How about this? All right, here's what we're going to do. Let's all leave here. I know it's been since 2009, but let's get some fucking crack.
Then we'll
come back and we'll start recording the podcast high on crack.
We'll write two scripts.
Kick in the door and kick out the dude.
That's why I don't know. Like, I remember.
Burr and Al Madrigal show up here and everything's been sold. Like,
I'll take that poster right there, signed.
Give me $5 for the ATC poster. Come on, man.
I know you start thinking, once you start doing, man, like, I know that if I were to go back to doing drugs, it'll be like 100 times worse this time.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Isn't that
dude.
Crazy? How I'm glad that we know that.
Oh,
I'm glad you know that, Josh, and I know that.
Well, that's what they say about, that's why a lot of painkiller people die, is because they quit. And then when they quit, they're at like a high tolerance. So they're taking like 10 a day or 20 a day. And when you go back to it, you think, oh, well, I need to get high. I need 3 to start off with. And then you die. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your body just can't handle it because it's not your tolerance.
You overload the system, exactly. Dude. Overdose.
You know, it's like coke. I don't know. I mean, if I was going to do coke again, I would put out a goddamn rail. I wouldn't just do a bump. I'd do a
fucking. Fuck, man.
Like a big old gagger.
Like a gagger, dude. Yeah.
Because whenever I would go back, I would like, fuck it, eh?
Yeah, it was.
I'm already here.
Yeah, you
come on, bro. What the fuck? You putting one? What is that fingernail, bro? Put it on the floor, dog. Yeah, man. That's a yeah. I remember when I was hanging out with Joe Diaz, bro. That fool did the whole 20 in one night.
I'm sorry, I got a little excited.
We're at El Compadre, and Joe Diaz didn't know that I was doing blow, but I knew he was doing blow. But he knew that I was doing blow, Rodrigo. But he was there. We're lying that we just wanted weed. So then Joe Diaz bought these three little bags, and the fucking we're all compadre. That fool opens up one bag, and he puts a straw in it and sucks it all in.
All of it.
All of it. All of it, man. Like, all of it. And then goes order a burrito, and he's eating it like normal.
This is for the spirits, you know what I'm saying?
It's awesome.
Where can people watch your show?
It's on Comedy Central. You can watch it on demand on the app.
Hulu.
I don't know if it's on Hulu yet. But we're waiting to find out if we're going to series. And so keep your ears peeled because I think good things are in the works. But we're going to be out on the road constantly with it. So check us out.
Also, man, watch me this week on the Eric Andre Show at midnight this Friday. I'm on the show and a special guest will be. I think Amber Rose. And I'll be on the show. I was on the show last week, bro. That show got crazier, bro.
What, the Eric Andre?
Yeah.
It's the best, man.
I told you, man, that I wanted to be on the show when I first saw it.
Yeah.
And I knew Eric Andre from some other show I did, and I barely knew Hannibal, but I wanted to be on the show. And I remember I tweeted Hannibal Buress and Eric Andre an audition tape, and it was just me in my underwear with no t-shirt on, no socks, in my hotel room with the turning the lamp off and on. And that was my audition tape.
I gotta watch this.
So this time they're on the show, fool. Fool. Eric Andre goes, oh shit. My table's giving birth, dog. He had Jillian Michaels on the show, right? Jillian Michaels, that chick that does nutrition lady, you know who that is, right? Anyway, so my chair's having birth, fool. They open up the chair. And inside his table, his desk, and inside the desk, there's a little midget Hannibal Buress, Eric Andre, and the guest. And they have a little desk.
That's funny. Underneath the big desk?
I saw that. It's hysterical,
I fucking
dude.
Died, though.
Eric is one of the funniest comics, man. Like, his brain, the way he thinks, it's just so out there. It's gold, man. It's gold. I'm so excited to see that you're on it. I got to get Adult Swim, but... Like if I can find a way to bootleg it. Do you have a copy of it? I can take it with me.
I have a copy.
God damn it,
motherfucker. Oh, you go to Adult Swim page, and it's free.
Is it free?
Yeah, they show it like a week after the episode airs.
Okay, cool. I'll watch it. I'll definitely watch it.
When did you get
I just need a computer first. You guys have a computer I can borrow? I sold it for OxyContin a few weeks ago.
Man, when you got your Comedy Central deal, how excited were you? Because I know I text because I know that you work so hard and you deserve this.
Thank you, buddy. Well, here's what's funny is that I sold the show prior to CW, like immediately. Like that was like our throwaway pitch,
CW?
And they bought. I know, dude. They bought it. That was our.
I was surprised they bought it.
They bought it in the fucking room. They were just like, "We love this idea. It's perfect." Blah blah blah. And so 2 days later, we had an offer, and. That was going, and then it went up the ranks, and they held it hostage for like 5-6 months, and then they dropped it. So when we started getting offers from different networks, and Comedy Central was the one that I wanted, so we went in to pitch to Comedy Central. It was like a week later they bought it. I was excited, but at the same time, I realized how quickly it can go away because the way the CW – I got excited about the money from the CW deal, so I was like, well, the same thing could happen with Comedy Central. So I didn't get excited – until 4 days after we shot the special. That was when it hit me that I was like, holy shit, like we not only do we do that, but I'm never going to have to go back to a regular job. Like I was driving up Sunset Boulevard going to a Dodgers game, and that was the way I used to drive to the strip club that I used to work at. And that was when it hit me. I was like, I'm never going to have to fucking go back to work. Like I just get to do this shit forever. So that's really when it hit me. And that's when I've been excited, and I've been excited ever since.
So you were the voice at a strip club?
Goddamn right.
Chuck, you were the stripper voice.
I've been in the whole time I've been here. It's my stripper voice. I don't change it.
Like, introduce Lisa Esparza, bro.
Oh, yeah. Well, first thing I do, y'all. That was Rodrigo up there, y'all. Dingling and dangling and fingling and fangling, giving you guys those nutter butters. Make sure you guys get your dollar bills out coming up next. Give it up for cilantro, y'all.
Give it up for crema.
Canela, though.
Which one was it? The one across the street?
No, I worked at Dames and Games. I worked for Spearmint Rhino. Dames and Games is like down in downtown LA off of like Alameda and Washington.
Like Sanborn.
Santa Fe and shit?
Yes. Oh, you know it all too well. I think I've seen you in there, haven't I?
We used to exterminate the playpen.
The play. Oh, the one on
that little sketch. They had rats and roaches. Disgusting.
Of course they did. It's fucking shitty as fuck.
Want to hear a crazy story? Rodrigo walked into the playpen where they were gonna kill somebody, bro.
Were a bunch of Armenian Russian gangsters that used to run that place, dude. So fucking they've been robbed before, so they have like certain doors to go in there, and then they'll give us a key once we get in there, the manager, to go and spray all the rooms because they had rats and fucking check the boxes. So I fucking go in this one room, and they're slapping the fuck out of this guy, dog. Like, beating the fuck out of him.
You're there exterminating?
Yeah, and I'm watching the whole thing. Like, the only thing I didn't have was popcorn, dog, and a little Coke. And they're going something about going over your race, you motherfucker, and fucking beating the fuck. Dude, this fool's face was like purple red, dude.
Please don't.
No, there's no. I will get money. And it's like, no, there's no more fucking money. After this, we take you and you're done. And fuck it, dude, on the shit, begging pretty much for his life. And then there's a couple other, like, strong dudes, you know what I mean, that look like they didn't even speak English. So fucking after that, I fucking creep in another room, and then I come back out and go, did you see anything? Don't even worry about it. I'm not going to say nothing. I don't care. I'm just here to kill the roaches. Yeah, no, nobody's going to kill nobody. I'm like, no, I don't care if you're going to kill anybody. So what I want you to do, relax, take day off. You go over there, get whatever girl you want, and have a little fun on me. Don't worry. You can stay here 2 hours, 4 hours, doesn't matter.
What girl you take?
Fucking three of them, dog. Yeah, it was tight, fool. You know what I mean? Every time I went there, dog, give me a little wink dog.
I would have showed up too, bro.
Oh, fool, I ain't saying nothing. I don't give a fuck.
This fool said, when you told me the story, bro, I was like, what the fuck did you tell him that for? Because you said, hey, man, I don't give a fuck if you killed that guy.
Yeah. The whole time I was like, wow, you should have just been like, what are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't give a fuck. I was going to say, he's a fucking rat as far as I'm concerned.
Are you talking about you're talking about killing the silverfish that are in the kitchen? I'll kill those motherfuckers, but.
Yeah, he didn't give a fuck.
Fucking two exterminators talking to each other.
Yeah, and the whole time the fool's brother's outside, Mondo's like, where the fuck you go, eh? I was like, dude, they had a lot of fucking rats today. I had to fucking pull one out of that. I don't give fuck, I took a nap. I'm all right on. Nice nap, dog.
So what happened to the guy that was slapping?
R.I.P., bro. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, fool. I didn't ask.
That's so sad.
I would have been like, fuck. When you told me that story, you said, bro, why did you tell him? I don't care if you kill him, man.
Because I knew they were going to kill him, dog. I mean, he didn't do nothing. He didn't steal $20. He fucking probably lost $40,000 or something.
Jesus Christ.
You know what I mean? Fucking,
that whole world.
Those fucking Russians are cold as fucking ice.
Oh, dude. This guy does the best Joy Diaz, by the way.
Oh my god, dude. Yeah, man. He's fucking.
He's in the ha ha, right?
Kick it, Lee.
So what's next, man? After the goddamn comedy show.
What do you mean, like?
You need to come up with another show.
I got a couple other things in the works right now.
By the way, that's That's Axl Rose and Lenny Bruce together in your tattoo, right?
Yes. Thank you for knowing that.
Yeah.
A lot of motherfuckers.
I knew
Lenny
Bruce, but I was kind of like undecided about the Axl Rose. But now, who's your tattoo artist?
It's a dude, Adam. Oh, fuck. I don't know his last name.
You don't even fuck with Adam. So.
Adam, he used to work at a place called Pricks.
Yeah, right, did it.
It's Adam Levine from Maroon 5. He's tattooing me.
I saw that guy. He had powder.
Oh, definitely. He did this. He covered up a shitty tattoo that I had, and he just killed it, man.
You had like some snake thing going there, huh?
No, it wasn't a snake. It was
What's
like
Axel's
shitty.
Real name, dude?
I think it's, I don't
Ashley.
Know.
Ashley.
I know. No, Lenny Bruce is Leonard Schneider, right?
I have no idea what his real name is.
That's fucking sweet, dude.
Yeah, so he did this. I think on the other arm, I want to get what they look like now. You know what I mean? So I'll get like a zombie Lenny Bruce and then fat, bloated Axl Rose on the other side.
Did you always want to be a rock star growing up?
I think everybody does.
Everybody, huh?
Playing air guitar since I was a kid.
Dude, I used to sing in my mirror. I used to come home from school and put on the new record, like New Faith No More, or like Slaughter, or whatever the fucking band. And I used to just like sing in the mirror. And then I would play instruments growing up, and then I was in bands. But the whole time I wanted to do stand-up. Like, I've been wanting to do stand-up comedy since I was 6 years old. And it's just if I would have been able to tell my like 13, 14 year old self, like, hey man, when you're in your 30s, you're gonna do both and you're gonna make a living off of it, it would blow my mind. Like, I'd have a fucking permanent boner the rest of my life until now. It's still trippy that I got to do both these things, and they're not cheesy. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
like,
dude.
The music comedy is comedy is the shit, and that's as long as I do just regular stand up, it's always gonna be dope. But to be able to still do music and not have people be like, "What is he trying to do?"
Fucking Weird Al over here.
It just works, man. It just works, and I'm super grateful for it.
Hell yeah, dude.
It's the happiest I've ever been.
Sold a deal, bro. What you got next, Rodrigo? Is that for show happening or what?
We don't have a date yet, but, you know, Monday night we'll be at a Sunset Room in Hacienda. But your show's at the Roxy now, though, right?
We're at the Roxy. The next one's October 4th. Yeah, it's
Who's performing? You have a lineup yet?
Yeah, it's Nick Swardson, Jeff Ross, Joe Coy, and David Koechner. And then we got some special guests coming, too.
David Koechner, man. That's the guy from
Anchorman.
Whammy!
We seen that for one time. Huh?
We had Joey Diaz.
That was a good one.
Did a rage one, rage song. Huh?
Oh, he crushed it, dude. He's like, now they do what you tell me. Now they do what you told you. And we talked about it last night. Like, he literally had like 3 panic attacks during the song. I mean, it was. He actually at the end he jumped and he got up like an inch and a half. It was the greatest thing ever, dude.
Do some Joe Diaz, bro, doing that fucking rage.
I was going to, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Yeah. Fuck you. I'm getting queasy. Fuck you, I ain't doing it. That's how he'd be doing it. I seen a little clip of that shit. It was cool. He was having fun.
He crushed it, man. It was something else.
He's sitting with the little mic and shit.
Yeah, but the whole time he just did this, like, walk with his shoulders. Like, some of them, the run forces are the same, the burn crosses. Kick it, Josh! Like, you know, I'd do it verse. It would just go back and forth, man.
What I like about your show, man, is that even as a performer, you feel like an audience member because you're watching these comedians sing. And I felt like summer camp, bro.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
I felt like I was at a cool summer camp where I was a cool kid, too.
Dude, I got to bring you back on it. Like, start thinking of another song.
I'll do a Spanish song this time.
Suavemente, besame.
Yo quiero que tengas los ojos para llorar. Suavemente. That's all I know.
Dude, you know what you should do is, which is like my favorite Spanish song of all time is Bambaleo.
Bambaleo.
Gypsy King. Dude, that would crush, dude. That would crush.
What's up, fool? Also, man, if you're on Netflix, man, if you're a big fan of City of God, the movie The City of God, there's a documentary called 10 Years Later.
I just watched some
of that. You just saw that before you got here.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched it. Neither did I. I watched the first 10 minutes of it.
I stopped at that chick.
I didn't get that far. That's so funny. I watched some of that last night. I love the movie City of God. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Dude, real quick, that guy that played Rocket, they offered him a percentage of the movie or 10,000 whatever money that is in Brazil.
And he took the percentage?
No. He goes, I wish I could go back 10 years from now and go back and say and take the box office deal, but he didn't.
What would he have gotten?
I don't know what $10,000 is in their country, but some of them got $5,000, some of them got $2,000.
Mad loot.
That little kid that got shot in the foot, his dad stole all his money.
Don't ruin it.
Sorry, man.
Spoiler alert.
Watch it. I love that movie.
I love it too, man.
Dude, I love that movie, which means I really loved it.
I love Crack Okay.
Yeah. We learn anything from the way you say broke.
Any dates you have this week you want to promote?
This week, every Thursday night at midnight, I'm at the Hollywood Improv for Midnight Snack with Avery Pearson and Jeremiah Watkins. October 4th, we're at the Roxy doing the goddamn comedy jam, and then I'm doing the jam at Gramercy Theater in New York City, November 6th. And we'll be at the Come and Take It Comedy Festival in Houston with Joey Diaz and a whole bunch of other motherfuckers.
Fuck yeah, dude.
It's going to be great. And let's keep your ears peeled can I do all my shit real quick?
Yeah.
Josh Adam Myers for everything, all social media. It's MEYERS. And then the goddamn Comedy Jam is at the GD Comedy Jam. Check in. And that's it.
So if you have ever wanted to go to a comedy show and watch your favorite comedian play drums or play guitar or sing a song or play piano, this is your comedy show.
Goddamn Comedy Jam.
Goddamn comedy jam. Make $1 million off this goddamn idea. I can't
Gotta
wait.
Make something.
It's a lot of fucking mattresses I'm going to buy with that fucking $1 million. I'm not buying anybody cars. I'm going to be like, Mom, here's your mattress. She'd be like, what the hell? I wanted a car. I'm like,
we're having
lay down on it.
Also, bro, LMNOP is a legit band, bro. They're good.
They're fucking
good. Get there, bro. Like, the show starts at 8 o'clock. Those motherfuckers are there 11 practicing and then waiting for comedians to show up to practice, but they never show up.
Sound check.
Sometimes they do.
I try to show up, man. I couldn't, man. I was so nervous. I wanted to get it right.
You killed it, dude. You fucking killed it. You made Jim Morrison proud.
Hell yeah, man. Jaime Morrison, bro. In the heezy. Also, man, thank you, everybody. I did get the TV deal for ABC, and we'll see what happens once they write the pilot. If you want to read the article, go to deadline.com or just Google Felipe Esparza and Dustin Ibarra. Peter Murrieta, Bobby Bowman. The dream team, people.
Hell yeah, dude.
Congrats on that, man.
What's up, fool? A big shout out and a big thank you and a hug to Josh Adam Myers for sharing his story here. Because I really wanted to talk to you about the accident, but I wanted to talk to you the first time I saw you at the Hollywood, Santa Monica Theater. When we did that show, I wanted to talk about it. I wanted pride, but yeah, I'm very happy you made it, man. And so, man, I'm just glad that you're not doing drugs. And
thank you.
Yeah,
I am
man,
too.
And happy for you, man. I'm very
thank
proud
you, baby.
Of you,
thank you so much.
Hell yeah, dog. Take care.